Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? I know you're used to this voice at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, but today is a big day. Today, there are 16 gifts under the football tree, and we're about to open all of them. It is the Texans schedule release special right here on Sports Radio 610. You can also listen to it on the radio.com app, and shout out to everybody watching on Facebook Live as well. My name is Sean Pendergast. We'll bring the rest of the crew in here in just a second to react to the Texans schedule. But let's get right to it and give out the schedule right off at the top here. And if you haven't been listening today, this will all be new to you. But if you've been listening to the station today, then you know that the Texans will be opening up for the first time since 2013 on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans in the early game of the Monday Night doubleheader. That'll be September 9th, week one against New Orleans in the Superdome on Monday Night Football. After that, here we go. First home game of the year is week two against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a noon kickoff. The third week of the season at the Los Angeles Chargers, 3:25 kick. And then begins a three-game gauntlet of former MVPs. Week four, home for the Carolina Panthers, noon kick. Week five, home for the Atlanta Falcons, noon kick. Week six, at the Kansas City Chiefs, again, a noon kick. We head into week seven, October 20th, and the Texans will travel to Indianapolis for a noon kick against the Indianapolis Colts. So week six and seven, back-to-back road games against Kansas City and Indianapolis. From there, the Texans come home for week eight, October 27th, against Antonio Brown and the Oakland Raiders. Again, a noon kickoff. And then if you've been listening throughout the day, then you know the trip to London to face the Jacksonville Jaguars, an early one if you're here in Texas and you're not going to the game, an 8:30 a.m. kickoff, November 3rd, week 9th, the Texans make their first ever appearance in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we're 9 weeks in. We have a week 10 bye, obviously, after that London game, and then we hit the home stretch, the final seven games of the year. The Texans come off of the bye with a trip to Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Ravens in week 11, a noon kickoff there. The short week, and everybody's got to endure one of these during the season. The Texans are going to get the Colts on a Thursday night at home. Not the first time that we've seen that during the Andrew Luck era, a 7:20 kick and a Thursday game against the Colts on November 21st. Not Thanksgiving, by the way. I know it looks like Thanksgiving, November 21st. It's a late Thanksgiving this year, the following week. The good news about playing the Colts that Thursday is the Texans are going to get 10 days off before they face the New England Patriots in week 13 on Sunday Night Football on December 1st. Now into the home stretch and a patch of schedule that's much more forgiving than the earlier patch of schedule. They'll have a home game. They'll follow the Patriots on December 1st with a home game in week 14 on December 8th against Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos. That a noon kick. They will follow that up in week 15 with a trip to Tennessee. If you're like, hey, I haven't heard a Titans game yet. Well, it's for good reason. They play the Titans two out of the last 3 weeks of the regular season. The first in Tennessee on week 15, December 15th. And then on week 16, they will travel to Tampa Bay, yet to be determined. Week 8, they'll make a determination as to whether that'll be a Saturday or Sunday game. The league treating week 16 a little differently this season, trying to make the matchups as playoff race friendly as possible. The Texans will play at the Bucs in week 16. It's just a question of which day that weekend. And then they'll wrap up the season with a home game, again, against the Tennessee Titans. So two Titans games in the final 3 weeks of the season. That last one in week 17 on December 29th. So that is the schedule. We'll obviously revisit this. If you missed it and just jumped in, we're going to be breaking it down for you throughout the night, and we will go through it again. We'll give our predictions on it. When I say we, it's not just me. But to my right is, of course, my co-host of the Triple Threat, Rich Lord. Hello, Rich.
What's up, Sean? I have my syllabus for the Texans 2019 season.
So you compared it to, man, the course that is the 2019 regular season. And sitting across the table, former Houston Texan, Pro Bowl guard, and, of course, one of our colleagues here at Sports Radio 610. You can hear him with Travis Johnson on the Smitty and Trap Show. Wade Smith joining us as well. Wade, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's Christmas in April, man. You got the schedule release coming out right now. What else would you rather be doing right now?
It's good stuff, and we're going to take Texan fans through this journey over the next hour or so to break down what this all means. Rich, I'll start with you. I guess just as we laid out that schedule there, what's your – and this is the first that the public is hearing about this.
Right.
What's your initial – reaction to this schedule?
My initial reaction to seeing the way it's laid out and when they're going to get this guy and when they're going to face this team is that the schedule, in my opinion, is set up for yet another slow start to the season. Last year was 0-3. I feel like the first six or seven games are maybe the toughest stretch of the Texans' schedule, but the good news is that there's a great opportunity in the second half of the schedule to make up ground and get themselves in position for a playoff run. The number one thing that sticks out to me is after opening up in New Orleans against Drew Brees and then home for Nick Foles and the Jaguars, 5 weeks in a row, they will face Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, and Andrew Luck. Home or road, those will be big challenges. You mentioned the three straight MVPs in Newton, Ryan, and Mahomes. It feels like the toughest test for the Texans, the toughest tests for the Texans will come early in the season. And I kind of like that as far as their chances of rallying in the second half and making that playoff push.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it's gone too under Bill O'Brien, is this team has not traditionally been a great starting team, but they've finished well by and large, other than the 2017 season where half the roster wound up on injured reserve. They've generally finished season strong. The schedule certainly is set up for that to happen. Wade, your initial reaction to this 16-game schedule here?
Well, look, my first reaction is Monday Night Football versus the Saints on the road. As a player, you really can't ask for a better situation to be in as far as a game to get up for and the adrenaline and the juices you're going to have going, because there's nothing like opening week in the season. There's nothing like it. You won't get that same feeling until it's the week one of the playoffs. You know what I mean? So you have that, and you couple that with the fact that you're playing at New Orleans in the Superdome. You're going to be in probably the worst environment that you can be in when you're a player. And then you add to the fact that it's Monday Night Football. That's the best and the worst environment that you could be in. And as a player and as a competitor, you relish moments like that. And so you look forward to something like that. I think one thing that I look at, you know, Rich was talking about the quarterbacks that you're facing in the first about 5-6 weeks of the season. I see another kind of murderer's row of quarterbacks later in the year when you have the Ravens, the Colts, and the Patriots. I'm really high on Lamar Jackson. I think that Lamar Jackson is just a really bad matchup for teams that play against him. I saw one team that played him well, and that was the Chargers, and they had the 7 DBs things. I think that they'll figure that out. But when you go from Lamar Jackson to Andrew Luck to Tom Brady, I think those three games are going to pretty much make or break the Texans season.
As long as you're talking about that, I want to ask you, because obviously I'm assuming part of the reason that, especially the front end of it with Jackson and Luck, are problematic is defensively you're defending two completely different types of quarterbacks. How problematic is it that it's only a 3-day window in between both of those quarterbacks? A Sunday and a Thursday.
I will say this. The good thing about it is that you have the Ravens after a bye, and then you also have the Colts, a team that you're used to playing. So them not having the normal 7 full days to get ready for Luck, I don't think is as big of a deal. And I think the fact that you have a full bye week before you play Lamar Jackson, that's going to help as well. And then you also backdoor that with when you're playing the Tom Brady and the Patriots, you have an extra 3 days to get ready for that game as well. So that plays well for the Texans, but still, stylistically, all three of those guys are different, and all three of them pose extreme issues that defense are going to have to deal with.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Rich, you and I talked on the show throughout this week as we were awaiting the schedule to come out, the placement of the Patriots game, because this is the one team outside of the AFC South that it feels like the right Texans play every single year.
And they're always better late. It's almost inevitable that they're going to be better late than they were early.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up and get your thoughts on, is the last few years it's been week 3, and week 1 for the New England Patriots. You see the Patriots now week 13. Any thoughts on that?
It just feels like that's who they are. I mean, how many times have the Patriots come out of the gate 1-2 or 2-2 and prompted all sorts of speculation about, well, this might be it, might be over, might be the end of the run. Next thing you know, they're in yet another Super Bowl, and they've beaten everybody that's in front of them down the stretch. So the Texans are smack dab in the middle of that stretch if it happens again this year. So it's definitely something to be concerned about. That, of course, one of the primetime games. And I'm slightly surprised, not shocked, but only 3 primetime games off of what they did last year. I know they, you know, laid an egg in the playoffs, but we're talking about a team that won 9 in a row and was a division champion. I'm a little surprised that they've been limited to 3 primetime assignments next season.
What do players like, Wade? I know the primetime games, obviously you're playing in front of the biggest audiences on TV, but just in terms of not just the prep for that week, but obviously with every primetime game, there's probably a ripple effect into your preparation for the following week as well. Give us the players' perspective on primetime games and whether more of them or less of them are the optimal thing, or if it even matters.
You would always, I mean, I'm going to speak from my perspective. I always wanted the primetime games. I always wanted to be in a situation where everyone can see us play and see what we have going on and what we're doing. You relish those moments because you want to be on the stage. NFL players are entertainers, man. And if you're the type of person that you don't want to be in the spotlight, I don't know if you're necessarily the right type of entertainer or a competitor that you want to play against the best. In the situations where you're going to have the most eyes upon you. And so you want as many primetime games as possible. The Texans only have three this year, like Rich mentioned, but they also have the London game. So
correct.
That's going to be the only game on. First thing in the morning, you wake up and you get to watch the Texans play in London. So to me, I consider that like a primetime game.
It's a national TV game.
It's a national TV game. So as a player, you can kind of consider that the same way. But yeah, you always, if you have an opportunity, if you had to choose between the two, I would always love a primetime game as opposed to just a regular 12 o'clock kickoff.
And Sean, I know you've thought about this, but that 8:30 a.m. kickoff central time from London means a 5:30 a.m. start to the countdown to kickoff.
Yeah, no, Meltzer's bringing the coffee. So, yeah, there are some funky times on here. There's no doubt about that. And I've always loved the 8:30 a.m. games. You know my feelings on this, Rich. Anytime you watch sports at a time of day where you're not normally watching sports, you always feel like you're getting away with something. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching the Texans and the Jags go at it in London. Have you ever made the London trip, Wade, as a player?
I have not, and I'm trying to finagle my way some type of way, whether it's through this station, whether it's through a Texans ambassador, some kind of way I'm going to find my way to London this year, no question
about it. I like it. Work it. Absolutely.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, you guys both, you know, Rich, you guys both brought up quarterback concerns. Just real quick, the front-end quarterback concerns that you brought up, Rich, of the week 1 through 7, is you've got three former MVPs. You've got Drew Brees, who probably is going to get an MVP at some point just as a Lifetime Achievement Award. You've got Andrew Luck and Phillip Rivers, who my guess is will be two of the top five on the odds board for the MVP. The weakest quarterback that they play the first 7 weeks was a Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, that kind of sums it up right there.
And they'll get him twice.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, four Super Bowl MVPs on the schedule because besides Foles, there's Brady, Flacco, and Brees.
Yeah, we got a lot of interesting factoids on this schedule coming up. We're off and running. We're with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Mark Vandermeer is going to jump in with us a little later on in the show for a few minutes and get the perspective from inside the building. It is the Texans schedule release special, radio.com, Facebook Live, and of course, you can listen right here on Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, former Texan, Pro Bowler, Wade Smith with you till 8 o'clock tonight, breaking it all down. Coming up next, we'll dig into the most fortuitous part of the schedule, and along the way, we will give our predictions as well as to what we think this is shaping up at record-wise for the Houston Texans. Sean, Rich, Wade Smith with you. Texans schedule release special, Sports Radio 610. We are back. Texans schedule release special on a Wednesday night. Texans and the NFL at large releasing their schedule at the top of this hour. Paul Gallant in studio with us as well. He's keeping an eye on things. We'll chime in any breaking news on the schedule or certainly anything. Certainly things that Texan fans, aside from the 16 games we just revealed, need to know about the schedule this upcoming season. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and former Texans Pro Bowl guard Wade Smith with you here on a Wednesday evening, breaking it all down. And shout out to people watching on Facebook Live. You can listen on the radio.com app and, of course, right here on Sports Radio 610 as well. Mark Vandermeer will join us for a few minutes in the next segment to get the perspective from inside the building. Rich, you mentioned one of the factoids about this schedule, just real quick, four former Super Bowl MVPs, I think is what you mentioned in the previous segment.
Yes.
Four former league MVPs on the schedule as well. As we mentioned, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, all right in a row in the first 6 weeks of the season, weeks 4, 5, and 6. And then Tom Brady, he's won an MVP once or twice. He'll face the Texans in week 13. How about this? Seven Heisman Trophy winners on the schedule as well. Four of them I'm sorry, five of them quarterbacks, two of them running backs, but Robert Griffin III, Mark Ingram, and Lamar Jackson, all Baltimore Ravens, Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry, both Tennessee Titans, and then Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm missing one more Heisman Trophy winner. Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers, week four. No, I mentioned Ingram. So just interesting little factoids. Before we give our predictions on this schedule, and we'll do that later on here in the segment, we spent plenty of time breaking down the first 12, 13 weeks of it, I feel like, because Patriots are in week 13. Wade, you had brought up in the first segment that the gauntlet that you're most concerned about just because of the quarterbacks stylistically is that week 11 through 13, Jackson, Luck, Brady chunk of the schedule. Rich, you highlighted the first 7 weeks where there's a murderer's row of quarterbacks there. The one good thing I will say about this schedule for the Texans is it lays out pretty nicely the last month of the season.
It really does, because absolutely what Wade said about weeks 11, 12, and 13 is with some degree of merit, no question about it. But when you close the season against the Broncos, Titans, Buccaneers, and Titans, you've got an opportunity in that last quartet of games, that last fourth of the season, to make a move, maybe improve your positioning in the division, maybe even your seeding in the AFC, because I consider those all very, very winnable games, and maybe four games the Texans might need to win this division.
Are we underselling those four games at all, Wade, or do you see those games similar to how Rich and I see them?
I kind of see them the same way when I look at it. Based off of, you know, the way I see the schedule shaking out, those four games are going to be must-win games. They're going to have to win all four of those games because I just see that early schedule is going to be rough. It's going to be tough to deal with all those quarterbacks that they have to deal with. You look at the Texans' defense right now; they're needing some help in the defensive backfield, and you go up against really good quarterbacks. That's where that liability comes into play. So I think that you're going to have to be able to beat the Titans twice this year. You have to be able to go to Tampa Bay and get a W there. That's not a team that scares you. And so you have to win the games that you're supposed to win.
And I don't want to disrespect Tennessee. They weren't garbage last year. They won 9-7 last year. But I expect the Texans to beat them twice in 2019. They're better than the Tennessee Titans. And I'm not a full believer in Marcus Mariota either.
You shouldn't be. And it's very difficult for me to give the Titans any credit because I still don't like them to this day. I didn't like
it's personal
when I played
with
there. It's kind of personal.
Yeah.
And so those are games, you know, the Titans, you look at them on your schedule, that is a rival game, and that's a game up front that you want to go out there and dominate. And I think that those are W's you have to mark down in the win column.
The Broncos are probably not going to be very good. What are your thoughts on the Bruce Arians, Jameis Winston pairing in Tampa Bay?
You know what? I think that Jameis Winston's going to have a better year than what he's had over the past couple years. I think Arians is a really good coach. I don't think it's going to be enough for them to be really contenders in the league. I just think they don't have enough pieces around them on defense to stop people. I think that they do have a great receiver in Mike Evans, and I think that, like I said, I think that with Bruce Arians in the fold, he's gonna have the offense up and running. But I don't see them as a team that's anything better than 8-8. You know what I mean? And so an 8-8 team, like I said, if you're the Texans consider themselves a playoff team, an 8-8 team, you have to beat that team.
Absolutely.
10 out of 10 times.
One quick factoid as we talk about the back end of the season, and we're talking about the final four games of the season. O'Brien, I'm going to put 2017 aside because we know that 2017 was a disaster. In the four seasons where this team either won the division or, in the case of 2014, they finished 9-7, O'Brien, in the final four games of the season, cumulatively over those 4 years, 2014, 15, 16, and 18, 11-5 as a head coach. So the team has finished the season strong. When the roster has lent itself to that, they've generally finished the season strong. I would say set up for another strong finish based on the opponents right here.
No question about it. That's one thing you have to give Bill O'Brien credit for. He knows how to adapt to what he's like. Early in the year, they tend to have slow starts. They tend to have difficulties throughout the season, but he figures out what we do well, and then that translates it to wins towards the end of the season.
Yeah, so I'm going to lay the schedule out again real quick in case people are just tuning in. Then we'll go around the table and give what we think the predictions will be very quickly here. In case you're just tuning in, the schedule released. You're listening to the Texans schedule release special here on Sports Radio 610. We'll rapid fire these. Week 1 at New Orleans, Monday Night Football. Week 2, home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Week 3, at the Los Angeles Chargers. Weeks 4 and 5, Texans back home against the Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons. Weeks 6 and 7, they go on the road for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Indianapolis Colts. And if you are sitting in your car or listening at home really scared right now after hearing those 7 teams to open the season, you're probably not alone. Week 8, home for the Raiders. Week 9 is when they travel to London to take on the Jags. That will give them a bye in Week 10. Here are the final 7 games of the season. Off of the bye, they'll travel to Baltimore in Week 11. They will then come back on a short week for a home game against the Indianapolis Colts on the 21st of November. They'll get a long week before the New England Patriots come to town for Sunday Night Football on December 1st in Week 13. And then the final 4 games of the year, which we were just talking about, Broncos at home in Week 14, at Tennessee in Week 15. We don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday in Week 16 yet for the Bucs. The league will determine that about midway through the season. And then the season finale will be a home game against Marcus Mariota, Mike Vrabel, and the Tennessee Titans. Yes, you heard that right. The Titans, 2 of the last 3 games of the year will be against a division opponent. Before we get to our predictions, as long as we're talking about that, Wade, you were on the Texans in 2012, where 2 of the final 3 games, if I'm not mistaken, were against the Indianapolis Colts. What's that dynamic like when you're playing a division foe? You've waited all year to play them, but and now you get them the last 2 of the last 3 weeks of the season.
Well, when you remember back to that season, we actually clinched the division at home against the Colts. I think that was week like 13 or 14.
It sounds right.
Like that. And so we beat them that week, and then we had to play them a couple weeks later at Indy, and we needed that game to get a bye week for the playoffs, and we actually lost that ball game. And that was it's one of the most disappointing losses that I had while I was here with the Texans, and it's probably up there for Texans fans. And there's really no rhyme or reason why that happened. I mean, it's difficult to beat a team twice in a season anyway, but to do it within, you know, a 3-week time span, I think that might add a little bit to it. But when you're in it, you just look at it like this is the Colts and we're better than them and we're supposed to go ahead and get that W. And I think that the Texans this year will have that same mindset, like this is the Titans, we're better than them. And hopefully they do what we didn't do and pull out, you know, both victories.
Well, at least you got a nice Letterman's jacket out of the experience.
Yeah, I definitely got a Letterman's jacket out of that experience. And it's
that was uncalled for. Hey,
No. That wasn't a shot. Wade loves his Letterman's jacket.
He does.
Jacket.
No question about it. It's still in my office to this day. It's set there next to my high school Letterman jacket and my college Letterman jacket, and I got my Texans Letterman jacket. And you know, we were part of a really good team, and we just went up to New England and we laid a damn egg.
That's just the fact.
It literally had nothing to do with the Letterman jacket.
And that jacket's way too big on you now.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a little bit light.
You're like an H-back
light in the ass
now.
To be wearing
it's
that jacket
unbelievable.
Right now.
Sean, Rich, and Wade with you here on the Texan schedule release special. All right, we'll do this quickly. We'll probably circle back to it before the end of the show. But just sort of a very cursory first glance at the schedule prediction, Rich. What does this schedule look like to you record-wise?
These predictions have to come with the qualifier that we haven't been through the draft. We don't know how healthy anybody's going to be, so this is as preliminary as it gets. But my prediction for the Texans reflects my answer to your very first question this hour regarding my impressions at first glance of this schedule. It's very front-heavy. And I think it's kind of light on the back end, and that's kind of what I'm looking for in terms of wins and losses this season. I have the Texans coming out of the gate with a 3-4 record over the first 7 games of the season. This is where you might mock me, because I have them, much like last year, kicking it in from that point forward.
Okay.
And kicking you-know-what and taking names. I have them finishing 8-1. Over their last 9 games.
Wow.
People are going to mock me, I realize, but that totals up to 11-5 for me.
Rich, Skip Bayless has made $6 million a year having takes like that. What are you worried about?
I say the only loss in the last 9 games is to Brady at NRG Stadium.
God, I'd almost trade a couple of the wins just to have one of them be against Brady. I'd almost rather go 9-7 and beat the Patriots and go 11-5 and not beat them. Wade, what about you? What's your first glance tell you?
So anytime I look at a schedule, I break it down the way I did when I played. And so break it out into four quarters. And so the first quarter, I have the Texans going 2-2. And then the second quarter, I have them going 3-1. And so that means they'll start off the season at 6-3, and they'll be in a good space. I think the next 4 games, they end up going 1-3. I think they're going to have a tough time of it trying to beat the Ravens, the Colts, and the Patriots. Those are 3 games that I have them losing. But then I have them end of the season 4-0. And so I have them with a 10-6 overall
record
for the season.
Okay. My first glance, and I've been somebody who's been less bullish on the Texans, I think, certainly than you, Rich, on our show. 8.5 was the season win total that Vegas put out there. I've been saying that I think they're an under team as of right now. I haven't seen anything on this schedule that changes my opinion on that necessarily. So I just in going through it, I won't break it down quarter by quarter. I like the way you guys both broke it down, but just for the sake of time, I've got them as an 8-8 team right now on this. I do think they'll finish strong. I'm really nervous about the front end of the season, given how this secondary is right now. Deshaun's going to find himself in a lot of shootouts, and I want to talk about that in the final segment of this release special.
And that's unlikely to be a playoff team at 8-8.
It won't be. In the AFC, in this AFC, you're going to need to be at least 9-7 in the conversation. All right. Mark Vandermeer is going to jump on with us here for a few minutes coming out of the shoot in the final segment of this schedule release special. We'll get the thoughts. What were the reactions inside the building when this schedule got released earlier today? We'll talk to Texans play-by-play voice Mark Vandermeer. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Texans schedule release special on Sports Radio 610. All right, one more segment to go here on the Texans schedule release special. Appreciate you tuning in here on a Wednesday night. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and former Texans Pro Bowl guard Wade Smith. We will continue with our breakdown of the schedule as we head towards the top of the hour. But joining us right now on the Buyers Barricades hotline is the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, joining us on the Texans schedule release special here on Sports Radio 610. Vandy, what was the reaction inside the stadium today when everybody found out that this season would be opening on the road Monday night, New Orleans Saints?
Well, there's football reaction and we got to host games reaction, because the week two home opener was a bit of a surprise, because the Texans organization has college football on Friday and Saturday that weekend. You have the Advocare Texas kickoff on Friday with the Cougs in Washington State. Then on Saturday, UT and Rice. And then, an NFL game on Sunday. That's back-to-back-to-back hosting games. And I know people think, well, what's the big deal? It's a big deal to put on games and, you know, do everything differently, video board-wise and otherwise and personnel-wise. So that was part of it. That's a little inside baseball stuff for you right there. But I think the opener at New Orleans is a real eye-opener. Last year I thought, oh, man, you know, rip off the Band-Aid, go to New England, let's see how it goes. Obviously it didn't go well. And now I'm thinking, you really got to go to the Dome to open up this season. And I don't like unveiling the 2019 offense in that gym, but I guess you got to do it sometime. You might as well do it then. You know, you have to deal with Drew Brees. That's very tough. I think overall, though, guys, there's a lot of positives here. It could have been worse. You're not on the road for a Thursday night. When you do play on Thursday night, you get a little mini bye, and then you get New England, so you have 10 days, if you will, to get ready for the Patriots when they come here for that Sunday night primetimer. I think that's pretty good. And you guys mentioned the closing kick, which, hey, you never know how it's going to play out. Maybe the Titans become the best team in the NFL, but I don't think so. So that's actually not so bad considering all that you could have had.
Mark, among the people I think of on a day like today are the traveling Texans, because I was fortunate enough to be a part of the traveling party when they first became a thing, like in 2011 and 2012. And since then, they've been consistently a force to be reckoned with on the road when the Texans are not at NRG Stadium. And I was thinking about them today and this evening when this schedule came out. Couple of tidbits I think that work really well for the traveling Texans are that opener on Monday Night Football in New Orleans sounds like a great trip to make if you're in that group, and avoiding the trip to Indianapolis not being in December, that's always a good thing.
I agree, Rich, and you know, it's the first time they have not been playing the Colts in any kind of game in December since 2010, so it's been a while, and I complained forever that they were always getting the Colts on the road in the back half of the schedule and in December for a long time that was happening, and it didn't happen last year, and you ended up splitting and each team winning at its at the opponent's place last year anyway. Who knows how it plays out this year, but you're right, and you got London, you got the Chargers in that little band box, which is a nice stadium, actually. You know, people don't sleep on that one. That's going to be a good trip to L.A. You'll get a seat, and it'll be close to the action because it's a tiny little place. And I think there are a lot of other good trips. Baltimore, Inner Harbor. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about when you're a traveling Texan, and obviously nothing more than London, because everyone's going to want to go to that one if they possibly can.
Mark, when you're looking at the schedule, when you see the fact that you have the Saints right out the bat, so you got Drew Brees, and then you backdoor that with Nick Foles and the Jaguars, and you got Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, Cam Newton after that, the Panthers. Do you think that this kind of murderer's row that Rich mentioned earlier of teams, do you think that will affect at all the way the Texans approach the draft and the position group that maybe is their number one priority? Do you think that might lend them to picking up that first-round cornerback as opposed to maybe a tackle? Because the schedule could have come out and maybe a lot of those teams could have been towards the middle to the end of the season and you have a little bit more leeway. But right off the bat, you got Drew Brees and you got to be ready to go.
Yeah, it's a great question, Wade, because when you see it on paper in this order, I mean, you knew you were going to face all these guys. But when you see it in that order, it is murderer's row. You're right. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in all my time with this team. When you, and I'd have to go back, and I'm going to think about it, maybe in the earlier days, but the expectations are much higher now. So when you look at all these quarterbacks back to back to back, and they're different, you know, they're different styles, and you have to deal with different situations every week. So, yeah, defensively, you have a lot to think about. And it's funny because Johnny and I on Texans All Access last hour were talking about Seth's comment, which has been played a lot about how, you know, you have to fix the offense more than a defensive player is important in the first round. And everything's important, obviously. But, yeah, a defensive player, a corner, because you're so low in that position group anyway, might be the way to go in the first round. I think it all depends on how things fall in that first round and if they trade up, trade down, whatever. But you're right. You've got to be able to stop these guys or at least slow them down in order to win these games. And I think we're going to see some really exciting ones. We're going to see some shootouts.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans, joining us on the Texans schedule release special. Mark, before we let you go, we haven't really talked about this London game against the Jags. I guess just for you personally, how excited are you to get to travel over and finally call a game in Wembley Stadium?
I think it's very cool, Sean. You know, I've always wanted to do it. It's a weird time of day to do it. But I was born in Europe, so for me, there's a little extra on this one. It's fun to be part of the international expansion of the game and just be over there. I mean, it's funny because, like, you prefer the trip was like a spring game, you know, because the grind of the season and you see what the guys go through. We talk about it all the time. You just want them to have this ease of travel so they can focus on playing the game as best they can. But, look, everybody's got to do it at some point. Mexico City was so close, but traveling was really tough. It was arduous to travel within the city and just operate within the context of Estadio Azteca. This is a longer trip, but once you're there, it's kind of an easier situation. So I'm really anxious to see how it plays out. It's going to be fun.
That's Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans. Vandy, I would imagine you guys will be, now that it's been released officially, be breaking this thing down all sorts of ways on Texans All Access the rest of the week.
Yeah, we got Bill O'Brien tomorrow. We'll have J.J. Watt. We're going to have a lot of different things going on. And check out our video. We did a Game of Thrones-type schedule release video. It's on the website.
I heard. It just got.
Has it already dropped?
It's dropped, baby.
Yeah, and it got the thumbs up from one of my fellow Game of Thrones nerds, Paul Gallant, who's in studio here. So big thumbs up to the content crew, the digital crew over with the Houston Texans. You guys are killing it. Mark, we appreciate you making time, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, there it is, Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans. He talked a little bit, as we jump back in here, Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, Wade Smith with you on the Texans schedule release special. Wade, he talked about that opening gauntlet that you asked him about, those first seven games where it's, by and large, anywhere from very good to elite quarterback play. We talked a little bit on the show the last couple days about how different this offseason now is for Deshaun Watson compared to the previous two, because 2 years ago, he's just trying to get drafted. You know, he's trying to improve his draft position, get ready for the combine, pro days, things like that. Last year, obviously, he's rehabbing an ACL. How different is it for Deshaun Watson, do you think, this offseason focusing on football? And now knowing that these are the first seven games against these offenses, how crucial will all of that extra work and focus just on football be for him?
I think Deshaun Watson is the type of guy, he relishes the challenges. The fact that he has seven quarterbacks that are, you know, household names, big-time quarterbacks that are on the docket, that just gives him extra fuel and motivation. He's just that type of guy. He's wired that way. And so from that perspective, I think it's a great thing because he understands kind of the daunting task that is in front of him. And so because he has that daunting task, he's going to put in that work so that he can meet and exceed the challenge.
He's also going to be challenged by a couple of guys that on this schedule that are used to seeing him day in and day out in practice. We haven't mentioned this yet. Week 6 at Kansas City, Tyrann Mathieu in the Chiefs' secondary against Deshaun Watson. Of course, on the flip side, Tayshaun Gibson will have his hands full with Patrick Mahomes. And the Week 14 game also comes to mind with Kareem Jackson coming back to NRG Stadium with the Broncos to face Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And, of course, Bradley Roby is going to be in the Texans' secondary, presumably, that day, facing his old team as well.
You were a free agent when you came here. You left Kansas City to come here and play for the Texans. Was there a little extra hop in your step when you would go against the Chiefs once you came here?
No question about it. I remember in 2010 we played them, I think it was week 6.
Yep.
I think we won that game, and it was a close ball game. D'Amico Ryans got hurt that game. And we were 4-2 at the time going into the bye week, I believe. But I definitely had that one marked on my calendar as soon as we knew our opponents, it was marked. And then once the actual schedule came out, that one was circled. And that's how players operate. That's how we are, especially when it's a situation where you wanted to be somewhere and it didn't work out and so you left. And so you always wanted to mark that W off on the column when you played against the teams that let you go or it didn't work out in those situations.
What'd you think about, I think going into this offseason, we talked about it and felt as if they were probably going to lose one or the other, Kareem Jackson or Tyrann Mathieu. Turns out they lost both. Where do you think they stand now in the wake of those losses?
I think you can look at it monetarily and say that they made out better on the deal because they saved money. And when you look at it from the value of what you're getting out of the player, from what you're paying for them, they got better. But I would say if I just put player for player, I would say that the team got worse. I think that the defensive backfield isn't as good now as it was when you had Kareem and Ty Mathieu here. I thought Kareem Jackson was a guy I would have loved to have back. He just reminds me very much of like when you lost a Glover Quinn or somebody like that, even though Glover was younger. But still, I think Kareem Jackson was a guy that is ascending as a safety in the league, and you want to keep guys that are getting better in-house.
And that's bad timing. This is the worst time possible for the back end to get worse, considering this schedule, considering these quarterbacks they're going to have to face. They better do some good work in the draft.
Well, we know what the Achilles heels are in this team. It's the secondary and the offensive line. So there was inherently, there was not going to be a schedule that was going to be friendly for this Texans roster because they've got major holes on both sides of the ball. They've got some great players on both sides of the ball, but they've got major holes that need to get filled via the draft. We bring in our colleague Paul Gallant now, who's been feverishly on the computer over there digesting all that's been going on, not just with the Texans roster, but with the Texans schedule, but schedules around the league as well. Paul, welcome into the fray here on the Texans schedule release special.
What's going on, gentlemen? The AFC South is going to be an interesting division this season. There were three above 500 teams last year, and when we take a look at the teams around the league, I thought I'd give you guys a quick breakdown, at least about how I feel about those AFC South schedules for the Colts, the Titans, and Jaguars, respectively. Let's start off with Indianapolis. This is a pretty difficult open to the year. They will open with three of their first five games on the road before a bye week. At the Chargers, who of course have Phillip Rivers, at the Titans, the Falcons at home, the Raiders at home, and a road game against the Kansas City Chiefs to open up the season. Not the easiest stretch to open up the year. They get a bye week, and then they host the Houston Texans, coming off of a bye. After that, pretty gravy for them outside of a Week 9 game in Pittsburgh, a Week 12 Thursday game here in Houston, and a Week 15 game in New Orleans. So that's the Indianapolis Colts schedule. It has a very, I think, difficult beginning, but as the time goes on, it gets pretty easy.
Worth noting, and we'll get to the Titans and the Jags here, I'm sure, in just a second, but you mentioned the Colts coming off that bye week in Week 6, and then playing the Houston Texans coming off of a bye. Just for full disclosure, the Texans will be coming off a road trip to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. So a little bit different dynamic for each team coming into that first Indianapolis game in Indy of the year. What about
And one other thing, I like the fact that you're mentioning the Colts with a tough schedule out of the gate because there's no question the Texans have that. And if they wind up being, kind of neck and neck over the first half of the season, it leaves less room to have to make up in the second half of the season.
I will say this, listening to what you mentioned about the Colts schedule, you see the difference between a first-place schedule and a second-place schedule. Even though the teams were pretty even throughout the season and the Colts ended up beating the brakes off the Texans in the playoff game, there's no Patriots on their schedule that you didn't mention. And then the fact that they're not going through the murderer's row of quarterbacks that the Texans are, It just shows that the Texans have a tough role to hold because they were the division champion last year.
All right, Paul, who's next?
Heavy lies the crown. The Tennessee Titans, they open up their season in Cleveland. We don't know what Cleveland is right now. I think a lot of us feel very good, bullish about the Cleveland Browns. Then they host the Colts. So that's how they open up the season the first 2 weeks of the year. The rest of their tough games, I consider them spaced out. Week 7, they're hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Week 10, they're hosting the Kansas City Chiefs, very beneficial for both of them. And then they have a Week 13 game at the Colts. They're rough. They have a very, very difficult finish to the year. We've mentioned that they played the Houston Texans in two of the last 3 weeks of the year. They also have to play the New Orleans Saints in Week 16. So the Titans, if they're going to make the playoffs, they better be in pretty good position in early December.
So their last three games of the year go versus the Texans, then the Saints. Are they home or away against the
Saints? They are at home against the Saints.
And then they will play here at NRG Stadium.
Yes.
Against the Houston Texans. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
So the Jacksonville Jaguars will open up the season with Kansas City at home. Not great. We'll see what Nick Foles is able to do, though, against a very revamped defense with all sorts of new coaches and parts. And then, of course, they go here. They take on the Houston Texans. In Week 6, that's their next difficult game. They host the New Orleans Saints. They have the Saints at home. That is, I think, very helpful for a Jacksonville team that is trying to get back to what they used to be defensively. Their London game, of course, is against the Houston Texans Week 9. That gives them a bye week before they head to Indianapolis in Week 11. Week 14, they have a game at home against the Chargers, and they're at the Colts. Excuse me, they've got the Colts at home Week 17 to end the year. So the Jaguars, they got the last place schedule. Things, I think, work out very favorably for the Jaguars should the Nick Foles experiment work out too.
We gave our predictions on this Texans schedule, Paul, and if I'm catching you off guard, my apologies, but as you glance at the Texans schedule, what's it feel like? What kind of record does it feel like to you?
I really like the end of the season for them. I feel like you got that Thursday game against the Colts where both teams are somewhat underprepared. And then, yeah, you have to play the New England Patriots, but you do have them at home. But then the Broncos, Titans, Bucks, and Titans to end the year. That, to me, is a cupcake buffet. The real key is going to be, does this team, notorious slow starters under Bill O'Brien, do they figure out their bleep in the first month of the season? And that's going to be really tough for them to do. And, you know, when you talk about that stretch where they go up against Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, and then Andrew Luck. Yeah. We're talking about that over from week 3 all the way up to, my math is not great.
Week 7
yeah. Against the Indianapolis Colts.
Three of them on the road.
They could be in a really difficult spot
yep.
there. And I know, Rich, you talked about how they might be slow out of the gates and they might have to finish 8-1 to get to the playoffs. I don't like that stretch right there. I've said a 6-10 team. I'm not feeling good about the secondary and the offensive line. I'll say 7-9 just to make people happy.
All right, there you go. Paul,
you made too many people happy.
Paul, we appreciate the legwork, brother. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, Texans schedule release special. We got a couple minutes to go here. In case you're just tuning in, I'm going to rapid fire this one more time. You've heard us talking about these games sort of piecemeal along the way. Weeks 1 through 17, here we go. Week 1, Monday Night Football at New Orleans. Week 2, against the Jags at home. Week 3, at the Chargers. Week 4, home for the Panthers. Week 5, home for the Falcons. Week 6, at the Chiefs. Week 7, at the Colts. Week 8, home for the Raiders. The London trip against the Jags will be in Week 9, which leads into the bye week. Very nicely placed in Week 10. The final 7 games out of the bye at Baltimore, Week 11, Week 12, Thursday night against the Colts, and then a long week for a Sunday night game in Week 13 against the Patriots. And the final 4 games of the year, home Broncos at Tennessee, at Tampa Bay on either a Saturday or Sunday, we don't know yet, and then home for the Tennessee Titans. We got about a minute to go in the show. Final thoughts on the Texans schedule, Rich Lord.
Like I said, and I think we're all agreeing on this, slow start, hopefully a fast finish. A little disappointed that there's only 3 primetime games. Doesn't look like that's going to change. Flexing theoretically is always a possibility, but the only games in the second half down the stretch that would be flexible are already in primetime.
That's a good point.
The Patriots and the Colts,
right.
So I don't think there'll be any flexing going on for the Texans.
Nashville hates you for that comment, Rich. Wade Smith, any final thoughts from you on the schedule?
I'll say this. Carolina Panthers, you got Cam Newton coming in here. Is he going to be the Cam Newton from 2 years ago? Is he going to be the last year Cam Newton coming off a shoulder injury? Is that the guy you're going to see? So I think that game and the Falcons game, Matt Ryan is not quite the same guy that he has been in the past. So I think those games can come out to be W's. And then I love the fact that they play the Oakland Raiders on October 27. It's close enough to the Halloween. Halloween, Oakland Raiders, they just go together to me. So I'm looking forward to being at that game and seeing how that thing shakes out.
Ghouls, Goblins, and Raider fans. And yeah, the Texans have a chance to win the NFC South the first 5 weeks of the season, even though they're not in that division. They've got the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons in the first 5 weeks of the year. Gentlemen, this was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right, good stuff. Rich Lord, Wade Smith. Actually, stay tuned. Smitty and Trap. Wade, you're your own lead-in tonight. How about that?
Yeah, man. Smitty and Trap show coming up at 8 o'clock. Myself, Travis Johnson, Jeremy Branham, Joe George on the boards, of course. And then we're actually going to have a couple of guests. A couple of guest nerds that are going to join us for Throne Talk in the 8 o'clock hour. So that's going to be a good time. We're going to have Sean Pendergast and my guy, Pauly G, in for the Smitty and Trap show. So stay tuned for us coming up next.
All right. Paul Gallant, thank you for your contributions as well.
No problemo.
All right. Good stuff. All of this stuff, I'm sure, extensive schedule coverage up on sportsradio610.com. I want to thank everybody for listening on Sports Radio 610 and the radio.com app. And, of course, everybody for watching on Facebook Live. You've been listening to the Texans schedule release special here on Sports Radio 610. Rich and I will see you at 2 o'clock tomorrow, everybody. And, of course, Mad Radio, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll get it all started. Have a great night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.